that their responsibility? Well, I know it.
Who's your responsibility?
I thought they had to be registered anyway, some of those things.
Nemo, this is Drew. Is the hydrocyanidic, is that how it's pronounced, acid, is that something that isn't a registered material?
Jurisdiction they are in.
they don't know what they're getting into. It happens to be oil and gas and gaming. And nowadays, the services nationwide are coming up. But as we said, we've had these two incidents in Fairbanks, one of which was in the city, and now there hasn't been any accident with the hydrocyanic acid, but it just came to the attention of the agency. Similarly, in Moose Creek, there is offloading of ammonium nitrate, which is a Rural Power Service district for the small department. You remember the Texas City disaster, that was ammonium nitrate that went off there.
Okay, Neela, we've made notes to that effect. It seemed to make a lot of sense to me to have notification go to the proper public safety people. They could just log it on their computer, and when a call came in, punch it up and find out what the potential was.
That's essentially what they're asking. Thank you.
Okay, are there any other concerns or comments?
Mr. Chairman, I do apologize for being late. I was looking at the barbers and hairdressers, and the other area in which I've been receiving a lot of comment from are the barbers and hairdressers with regard to problems they're having in the industry. With they're representing to me that there are people in the industry who are hiring people basically off the street, and you know, one day they're a department chief clerk, and the next day they're a hairdresser, and they've one particular hairdresser has had a number of people come to her shop to have their hair repaired after they've been you know, had somebody else do their hair, and come to find out these people are court apprentices that are brought on and are being allowed to do the work with a lot of supervision. And I'm wondering if anyone else has heard any of those comments, and I'm saying that only because the frustration is that they feel they can't do anything about it other than fix people's hair when they come in and it's all damaged.
Yeah, that same concern has been expressed to us up here.
Well, we did pass a bill out of committee last year, and I don't know, where'd that go to?
That bill's in House Finance right now. That's the bill I was indicating the governor isn't happy with because he feels it's expanding the powers of the board. And I think what Representative Collins is suggesting would also do that. But I think in that particular issue, I think it is relevant and appropriate that their board be given some kind of authority in that area or the department. So I don't know whether we'll see that bill changed drastically to cut back that activity. And if Sun's bill and Sun and Rody are going to try and check on that, or whether they'll get together and submit a whole new bill and just leave that bill die in House Finance. So this bill may come back to us again. It's hard to predict at this point. Part of the problem I'm dealing with here is that legislative budget and audit, I just checked with them again this morning, and they don't have any of their reports ready for any of these 10 boards that we just covered. And so I kind of hesitate to reinvent the wheel or make suggestions that may or may not run counter to what they're doing, and so that's why I aim more at getting background material. And when once in January those reports are available to us, we can put them back in. Although in the case of barbers and hairdressers, I've been assured that their position is going to continue to be that they would like to see the board sunsetted, and that they are not going to make any real changes in terms of their review unless we strongly insist that there are some very specific issues that we'd like to see the legislative budget and audit focus on in regards to that board. It might still be possible to do that, but unless we do, they're pretty much going to come in with just a repeat of the budget and audit report they had last year.
Representative Hanlon?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to comment on something that has been brought to my attention, and that perhaps at a later date I'll be bringing before this committee, and it was an individual's concerns who's been employed for a great many years at the International Airport here in Anchorage, And I think probably the bottom line is how some of the decisions are made at that particular facility. I have requested an audit of some of the practices there. I've asked for some figures on some of the cost overruns on the recent construction, but also specifically asked how decisions are made relating to gate assignments and so forth. And some of the real concern here seems to be that we're discouraging competition, that some airlines have expressed interest in coming to Alaska, and I think we're all interested in certainly having enough competition so that our rates here are competitive with perhaps those of the rest of the country. So I'm still kind of just beginning to gather this information, but I think it is a concern that has been expressed, and I think there's some interest in the whole community. I know Senator Josephson certainly did something on that last year, but probably be bringing that information when I get it to this committee.
Representative Collins, thank you, Representative Hanlon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hanlon's comments kind of bring to mind some of the other comments that people have made to me. I'm not a world traveler, but apparently people in Alaska have to fly to the lower 48 states in order to get to Europe, and usually that's an increased expense. And I was recently on a trip, and the people from Washington State had been able to fly to Spain at about a third of the cost of what it cost me to get there, because I had to go from here down to lower 48 states in order to get a flight to go out to Spain. And then coming back, our flight was canceled by Iberia Airlines, and we were trying to get back for an appointment. And there was a JAL plane that was in the airport at the time in Madrid, heading for Anchorage, and we thought it would be interesting to see if we could get on that flight. And of course, we couldn't, because you can't stop for passengers. And I thought that was something that we should look into in terms of the air transportation in this state, is to changing some of those federal regulations, as I understand, that do not allow those planes to do anything other than refuel here. Yeah, and they're here, and it was coming here, and I've talked to other people since that, and other people have had the same experience, is that they have to pay a lot of circumstances to go down to lower 48 states and then fly to Europe when those planes are coming through here all of the time.
Thank you. One of the best examples of that is the JAL flight on a daily basis, which comes through Anchorage and then goes nonstop to New York City. And Alaskans are not able to board that flight here because of federal rules. I don't know what we could do about that, but we do know that there evidently have been some problems with gate assignments at the International Airport here in Success and both our districts. We want to work with those.
That's something I'd like to be able to fly here.
Just an additional comment. I think the thing that kind of piqued my interest was how are these decisions made and who makes them, and I get the impression that there's not a board. I mean, you know, there's school boards that kind of dictate policy for school systems and municipal assemblies. And this is a multi-million dollar business out here at the airport that affects all of our lives in some, whether it be freight, what it costs to deliver freight to the bush. You know, we're all affected by a lot of the decisions that are made, and I haven't been impressed with that process. It seems to be kind of maybe who can get to somebody in power or something, and I don't have a great understanding, but the little bit that I heard about it leaves me with some real questions. Is this the way it's supposed to operate, or is this the best way to operate something that really, really concerns and touches the lives of everybody in Alaska?
Representative Pierce.
One more note, and then we can get off of it. There are only three airports in the United States that are run by either the state or federal government, National and Dulles, that serve Washington, D.C., and Anchorage. And Anchorage is, of course, owned by the state, as opposed to by the city or by the borough. Yes, Fairbanks would fall into that too, which is now an international airport. We might even look at the fact that in Seattle, SeaTac is run by the same port authority that runs the Port of Seattle and is under a more local jurisdiction, and that might be something that we want to open up. Should the airport be given over to a more local jurisdiction? Would the state have any business running the airport?
How much money would it save the state?
Well, the airport's been making money, and we'll get that as an argument. However, I think that we're going to see the making money turn into a
read below the line within the next couple of years from the people I'm talking to. That might be something we should look into.
Any other comments?
My apologies.
Individual priorities or things that we'd like to do.
Mr. Chairman, are you going to take up anything else on tomorrow? The majority of the questions I think I have are related to tomorrow's agenda, so I'll hold my comments until tomorrow. So, are you going to take up anything else on tomorrow's agenda?
Other than what's on the list?
Anything else today?
I'm open. Did you have something that you'd like to bring up?
No, not at all, Mike. I just wondered if you were going to, you took up talked a little bit about the plumbing code legislation. Are you going to take up anything else on that 2 to 3 spot there, that information?
The what? 2 to 3 spots.
I just went out and put a meter in my car, but did you take up timeshare campground?
No, we haven't taken that up. We'll take that up tomorrow because I don't have the material on it with me.
Anything you might want, based on the conversation, Mr. Chairman, is there anything based on the conversation that we were having earlier and the item that's on it regarding the Seward prison contract that you might want me to fill Representative Copeland and Davis in on? Or have you done that already?
No, I haven't. Mike and Neil, would you like to have kind of a brief overview of the San Juan Korean contract, what's been going on with that?
That would be useful. Those of us in the interior don't hear very much real information. A lot of smoke and fire, but no information.
Well, let me just tell you, first of all, how I even became involved in it. Two very substantial companies who do business in the state of Alaska. This isn't something I just picked out as a so-called Alaska hiring. I was approached by them. They're substantial businesses and also some subcontractors. And they were very concerned about the entire matter. And so I asked them to outline their concerns to me. And initially, several contractors indicated that the agreement had already been made, that the major portion of it would be pre-fabricated construction and would be brought to the state of Alaska. Since this is not an area of expertise of mine, and I wanted to make sure I was simply not just shooting from the hip, I inquired around amongst the business community. Not the labor community, but the business community, and they indicated that there was a very strong concern, not about the company itself, San Juan Construction of Korea's ability, but the company that was winning the bid, that their assets were less than $200,000, that they had no previous experience in this. So I dug into it. Of course, the very fact that it was questioned, several reporters called and asked me what I was doing, and I sent the information to them. So then there was pro and con on the thing. There began to be some editorials came out on the issue, and I think that they were poorly founded, because when you get the companies of the statue that came to me, it's any legislator better pay attention to it. So mine has primarily been, with little or no tools, an attempt to gather information. When I first called the governor's office, I got little or no information. In fact, the first response out of them was, well, this is a joint venture with the Chugach Native Association. I checked back and the gentleman said, this is absolutely untrue. The first information was, yes, they were going to be prefabbed in Korea. Then somebody else on the company said, no, they're not going to be prefabbed in Korea. So I was trying to wade through all of the misinformation on the thing. We think to a degree that we have done that. Now, I am not a privilege to submit it today, but tomorrow morning I will submit a statement from the construction company that came to me as to, in outlining just in detail what their complaints are. That is going to be presented to the City Council of Seward tonight. Now, not really on the contract, all the state has is the oversight of the contract. They simply give the City of Seward a guideline by which to follow.
Are they asking
tonight,
for
I beg your pardon?
They're asking for guaranteed lease.
I'm sorry?
Are they asking for guaranteed lease from the state?
Yeah, right. Well, Representative McGuire commented, are they asking for a guaranteed lease? Yes. Ultimately, it's going to be the state that will be paying the tab on it, but right now, the administrative authority goes with the city to pass up or down on the thing. So, Huffman will appear before the City of Seward tonight, and if it's awarded to San Juan, Huffman at 9:30 tomorrow morning will file a suit in court where this evidence can be presented. Now, it may be that at that time tomorrow morning, and we'll have an opportunity to talk to the chair, that we simply may present Huffman's complaint and then move sideways on the issue because it'll be under litigation. But I guess the point was here that there were several people that are quick to get partisan on issues like this and say, well, here's Boucher out beating the drum for unions. I hadn't even approached by a union on the subject. I was approached by the three top construction companies in the state of Alaska and four of the top subs in electrical. In fact, one was an opponent of Protect, and we found ourselves working on the same side of the issue. But there are maybe some misunderstandings and what have you that need to be aired on the issue. Unfortunately, it's not during a legislative session where we could do it. So that was the reason for my express concern on the issue. Not just trying to, you know, create a news release or what have you. It was definitely brought to my attention. So within the next few days, we'll have a statement on that issue. As it stands right now, I think that we have representatives from San Juan Construction who will be here tomorrow. Huffman has indicated that if they are here, they will be here, and then Roger may tell you whether or not there are people from the Department of Administration. But of course, if the thing is in litigation, maybe we better take a wait-and-see posture on it. But I just wanted to bring you up to date, you know, on that.
I got a few additions to make to that. I've been in contact just this noon with Commissioner Knapp's office, and he is still planning to attend to testify tomorrow at 9 if we choose to go with that hour. And this morning, San Juan called, and they will have both Mr. Kim and Mr. Lee, their two chief spokesmen, who will come. And I believe they're looking at it as an opportunity to try and clear the air a little bit and make a public statement and reiterate what they said in the newspapers, which was that they plan to pass a substantial portion of their subcontracting to local contractors. We did have a two-wire phone hookup to Ron Garzini, the Seward City Manager, but because of the timing of this issue, he feels it's not appropriate for them to make comment at this point. And recognizing that, also incidentally, Mano Fry has been arranged to attend to provide brief testimony on behalf of the labor unions, and I think that's the extent right now of the people that we're considering. We're not making this public testimony. It's invitation only, and it's not so much because we've got a situation here with potential litigants. We're going to have to maybe give them some leeway in terms of their answers and not pin them down too hard. And if they say, hey, I better not answer that, it might get me in trouble, we'll have to maybe make that kind of allowance. But I think the I don't know, you know, what the legalities are there exactly, but I think probably the broader issue before the committee, if they want to focus on it, is not just this particular contract, but the whole issue of, it goes hand in glove with the resident hire issue, which is trying to keep jobs and money in the state as much as possible. And this bid, of course, is clearly money that's going to be, at least some of it's going to be leaving the state, so it's starting to become an issue of concern for us as a major policy issue for Alaskans, because this appears to be just the first of numerous future contracts where bids could start going outside the state on a regular basis because we can't compete with the lower pay scale from Asiatic countries is one example. And so this is an issue of concern, and we need to look at it perhaps in those broader terms as well as in the specific specifics of this particular case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Jorida Rogers, our representative Bachelor, or whomever knows the answer. Two things. First of all, was it Department of Administration or DOT that actually made the choice, or was it the City of Seward? And who actually wrote up the original RFP, and do we have a copy of that? Because I'm concerned about whether or not this particular contract was left under the RFP as it was written, and maybe there's a bigger issue out there. Do we need to tell DOT, DOA, and everybody else, okay, we want to change these. This is the sort of things that we want in them. But let's not get ourselves in another situation of trying to backtrack on something that's already happened. And one of the best examples I know of that is good old Diamond Boulevard. Department of Transportation lent a contract for the Minnesota bypass, the new one, that did not have any sort of a compensation for early completion. However, the one for Diamond Boulevard does have. And so, of course, the Minnesota bypass is not open, nor is it going to be, because the company, the same company has both those contracts. They're making $10,000 a day, as I understand it, for getting Diamond finished more quickly. And the Minnesota bypass, which is virtually complete, is just sitting there. They're using it for their own truck transportation. And I don't blame the builder a bit. Of course, you make the same business decision yourself, but perhaps we ought to talk to DOT and DOA about their own policies, and let's at least make sure that they're doing the same sorts of things on each of the contracts that they left. And if they're going to have early completion on one, perhaps it should be on all of them. And if we're going to say it's got to be an Alaskan company for things like the prison, then it's going to have to happen on all of them. So I think there's a much larger issue than this particular prison.
Drew's hit it right smack on the head. That's what we're probably going to end up looking at. I can only respond to the complaints of the people, but we may be just dealing with weaknesses in our law. I think she's hit it right smack on the head. That's the larger problem which Roger was talking about. So I think we're going to be involved in this more than just whether a Korean company is woke to doing this or not. And as she said, we have one set of ground rules. We can't backtrack out of them. In my instance, that wasn't my intention to do it. My intention was to call to the public's attention the complaint that the major business in the state had.
To respond to some of the specifics that Representative Pierce asked about, it's my understanding that the contract's actually been let and the contract specs were all set forth by the City of Seward, and the DOT has simply been acting in an advisory capacity on this particular issue. Ron Garzini, who's the city manager there, indicated that just because of the timing of this, he felt that he didn't think it was appropriate, but indicated full willingness that if we have a follow-up hearing on this issue at a later date, that he'd be more than happy to testify and even come in person. And went a step further and gave his detailed outline of what he thought might be an interesting way of dealing with this, which has to do with a procedure that they use at NASA, where he did a lot of work prior to coming to Alaska. And I'll have that material available for the committee with tomorrow's packet of information. And I'm also trying to get Commissioner Knapp. I left a message with them. They're trying to locate that letter. He wrote a letter, Ron Garzini wrote a letter to Commissioner Knapp over a year ago suggesting this alternate approach, which is one possible way of dealing with this among many, which is instead of automatically going to low bid, using a point system of which low bid gets quite a number of points, but you get additional points if you use local subcontractors, if you develop local industry, such as a prefab concrete plant, which is what Seward's interested in this particular case, and that kind of thing. So we'll try and get a hold of that. I don't know whether we'll be able to get a hold of a copy of the contract before tomorrow or not. That may not be possible, but just as another aside, there are four parties that have signed a stipulation on this court staying order right now, including San Juan and Hoffman and the City of Seward and the Attorney General's Office, which essentially means DOT. So Commissioner Knapp may be a potential litigant in this situation. And so, of course, he can respond to probably the kind of questions Representative Pierce has asked on a broader level more easily than he can the specifics of the case. So That's for the committee's information.
I'd like to interject here if I could. And in fact, I got a phone call on this on Friday and then one today regarding this facility. And I guess I concur with what Drew was saying regarding looking at the broader issue of what what are our laws and how they have affected or not affected this current contract. And I was wondering if Mike, you considered, or maybe Roger's already talked to someone within the AG that could give the committee just a review on what the laws are on the books and why or why not it doesn't take effect when the RFP or the money is given here, where they can then award the contract how they feel. Perhaps that's what we need to have that kind of information generated. It's probably too late or not enough time for a 9 o'clock meeting, but I think that's the kind of information that we as committee members need to have so we can take the next step. We need to implement new policy or change the law or recommend changes in the administrative code or whatever it takes. But other than that, we're just sort of trading information on what's happening within that facility. Although I think that's valuable, I think we shouldn't waste too much time. We should take that at least as much time in trying to structure the regulation or the law so that we don't have to worry about it in the future.
I think that's what we'll find most beneficial from the meeting tomorrow is that we'll identify why these things happen. Hopefully, ways that we can, I guess, work to change them. We'll contact the AG's office. It's possible that we could have someone from the AG's office here tomorrow, maybe to answer questions, or at least we'll have them here as a resource person for a follow-up meeting. Group?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess one of, in talking, Roger, to the AG's office, one of the things that I would be specifically interested in is the state of our statutes and regs right now as far as our being able to dictate to municipalities and boroughs and school boards in particular as to their contract procedures.
Mr. Chairman, going along with what Drew has said, it might be might be nice to invite the AG to listen in on the hearings tomorrow, and then perhaps they could you could ask for an opinion or whatever it takes to let us know just what is the status of the law. So they may not be able to give us any testimony for long, but they could find it of value to listen to what
we do have a four-way hookup that includes Juno. We could have somebody from Juno come down to that office.
Okay, Mike, we'll certainly try to get someone from the AG's office here tomorrow. Representative Pierce.
One of the things we might do, knowing that the municipal league is going to have their annual meeting in Fairbanks in November, we've got enough lead time now that we could perhaps, as a committee, talk with the municipal leagues once we have delved into this further and get some consensus from them too before we start treading on the toes come the second week of January.
Okay, are there any other comments or areas of concern? If not, I'm going to go ahead and adjourn the meeting today, and we'll look forward to tomorrow morning's meeting, hopefully to get some questions answered or at least asked. Roger?
Yes, I just have a material sent up to Representatives Davis and Copeland for this afternoon's agenda. We'll try and get some additional materials. Gold Street got to them on either this evening flight or us, early morning flight or something. I'll work that out with their staff at that end so that they don't need to panic. There is more material forthcoming.
Thank you. I don't think we're going to panic anyway. We're trying not to drop the security
of our reason. A cruel blow indeed. I got one observation on that material just for the interest maybe of yourself, if no one else, from a historical point of view. There's a whole article in there from a book that was written by Ernest Greening on the public utilities and how the utilities use a lot of propaganda. Now, the book's fairly outdated, going back to the late 50s, early 60s, and there's some interesting pictures in there, and I'm not certain that we can really accuse of the utilities in Alaska of being that propagandistic, but I thought you might be interested, if no one else, in checking that article out.
Okay.
Representative Boucher?
I, for one, looking through this, I'd like to compliment the chairman and his staff for a really comprehensive job. I indicated that I'm going to have a large turnover on my staff this year. My other people have gone on to higher goals, and this is absolutely invaluable, not only in briefing me, but staff. I hope every committee that I serve on is this thorough, and I'd like to, through the chair, compliment him and his staff for really an outstanding job. Now I know why Roger was out of that thing till 10 or 11 o'clock for the last month. It took an awful lot of effort, and I certainly appreciate it. I mean, at the copying machine.
Oh, okay.
What did I say at that thing? Well, you know. But it's really outstanding. If you want to have a staff person come aboard and say, well, what's happening in labor and commerce, all you have to do is say, here it is. Excellent.
Thank you, Representative Boucher, and I have to compliment Roger also for the material that he's put together. Representative Call.
I was going to say, are we adjourned?
Okay, if there are no other comments, the meeting is adjourned until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I won't be here tomorrow morning, but I will be here in the afternoon.
Yeah, and then it was challenging.
So, yeah, we've had
that at least.